Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And I told you it was going to be a good show today. What a wonderful conversation with Father John Weiss about his new book, Bible Mary. Available now at shop.catholic.com. And now we welcome back our good friend. I was going to say old friend, but that's not what you're supposed to say about somebody young and vibrant. You're not supposed to say old friend, but our good friend Simone Riscala. And we're going to talk about a topic that's dear to Simone's heart. And this seems like the perfect time of year to talk about leisure. And if you have questions, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. They might be practical questions about getting this quality of leisure into your own life, they might be more philosophical or theological questions. Whatever it is, you're welcome to call Simone. The virtue of leisure this hour, is it a virtue? How can we think of it in that way? 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It's been a while since Simone has been on. Simone Riscala, where do you work now? Are you still with Endow?
Still with Endow.
And you're the director of
Program Growth.
I was just going to say that. That's what I was going to say. Simone Riscala, director of Program Growth at Endow Ministries? How do we say it?
It's an apostolate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You have to be super fancy, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Why do it if you're not going to be super fancy about it? And what you do there is you study the documents of the Catholic Church, these treasures of insight into our life of faith. And you do that with women all over the country and all over the world, I hope.
Yeah, actually, just today, we are sending study guides to Beirut, Lebanon, for an in-person Endow group in Lebanon. So yes, we are all over the world.
Wow. But
we need to take it, you know, to the nations, the Lord said, right? The gospel to all nations. So, yeah.
But how did you get into this topic of leisure? Like, what drew you to this? What attracted you to this and got you thinking about leisure as a virtue?
Oh my goodness. Well, I picked up, I even remember the year, Cy. It was 2009. I mean, there's no coincidences in God's providence, but I picked up a book by Joseph Pieper, Leisure, the Basis of Culture. I read it. I think I read it 9 times, something crazy.
Really?
I love the book so much. It's everything. I mean, it filled in so many intellectual gaps for me about why things are the way they are in our culture. Like, why are things off?
Yeah.
For me, that book opened up, just filled in the intellectual gaps. And I think it's Father Shaw who wrote the great Jesuit who wrote the preface to that book, or the introduction, one of those to some, the edition that I read, where he said that, you know, Pieper was criticized, the Thomist, German Thomistic philosopher, Joseph Pieper, was criticized for writing a book about leisure so shortly after the Second World War. But the point being that leisure is that virtue which gives the person that habitual capacity, that's what a virtue is, it's a firm and habitual disposition of a power of the human soul, to be attentive to reality. Pieper says it's a mental and spiritual attitude of calmness, of openness to reality, of inward peace, and that cultivating that virtue, that habit of the soul, that habit of being, that was going to be our way back into civilization, into dignity. That was going to be the starting point.
Okay, right now you just got me so fired up, because the primary problem with the world today is an inability to have contact with reality. And that's why we have the moral problems that we have, because you cannot be a morally vibrant, successful, thriving culture if you will not admit reality, if you can't, or you've lost contact with reality. So you're saying attending to that is not just a matter of listening to angry radio shows or, watching angry podcasts. There is a spiritual dimension to the contact to reestablishing a connection to reality.
Absolutely. I mean, leisure gets the definition of leisure, like less lofty definitions of leisure are like rest or entertainment or just like not doing work. But these are reductions of the definition. These are reductions of the definition that Pieper puts forth, which is precisely what you're saying, that there is this capacity within me to really perceive reality. So the virtue of leisure is that kind of like prerequisite to prayer, because if God is the ultimate reality, how can I even begin to be open to hearing God's voice, recognizing the voice, the consistent voice of the shepherd who's communicating with me? How can I even be switched onto that if I don't first have that capacity to be connected to reality, to be calm about it, to perceive it, to be intelligent in front of it, to not be preoccupied, to not be so busy, to not be addicted to work, to not be addicted to good feelings, to be present here and now, to be attuned.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the virtue of leisure with our good friend Simone Rizcala. And so I think the objection will be much like the objection was to the idea of writing about leisure right after the Second World War, which is the world is in a state of disaster. It's a torrent. It's a storm raging all around us. How can you be talking about leisure at a time like this? And I must say, the gospel has Jesus in a storm in a boat, mm-hmm. taking a nap. Like he's asleep, like he's so unconcerned with the storm, and he's not even so unconcerned. It's not just that he's astonished that the apostles are concerned about it.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, that reminds me. I didn't even think about this and thinking about this conversation we're gonna have. I think there's a poem by Charles Peggy about sleep. And saying that, like, man, God, I'm going to butcher amazing poetry, but like, God doesn't like the man who can't sleep, who can't rest, because there's such a lack of trust behind it, you know? Yes. So here's Jesus just like napping in the middle of the storm, and the apostles like, when are we going to start? Anybody want to freak out about this?
Yeah, right.
Like, God, are you aware of what's going on? Clearly you are, but... Yeah. Join me here in the panic mode.
I have to say, one of the things that mitigates against leisure, weirdly, is the thing that provides us with so much opportunity of leisure, and that is technology. The fact that I can constantly be in touch is a thing that works against my leisure. It is. I can tell you that there are certain ways of reading that are not leisurely reading. And one of them right. I do sometimes, that I engage in this, but I try to limit the time that I will, but I will read the news, you know, on my phone, and not just the news, but what, you know, commentary or, you know, I have certain aggregators that I'll go to and read what people are saying about the news of the day and that kind of thing. But if you don't limit your time on that, you will destroy your leisure.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are activities that are conducive to cultivating this virtue, right? Technology, social media isn't one of them. And I mean, we're all addicts. Like, we're all addicts. We're in the technological age. I mean, the other day I was like, I'm gonna go play some piano. I'm gonna go read a book. I mean, and the like weakness of the capacity to be able to do those activities that are more disposed to cultivate this virtue, it's just painful, Si. It's painful.
Right.
So I'm glad you're switched on to that. I think at the very least, we could be switched on to the things that are taking away from cultivating this virtue.
888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. I do think there's an American thing, though, about America is opposed to leisure. I mean, I've read these studies about, like, and we make fun of Europeans because they take time off. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, and I'm sure you've heard this, like American media or commenters will, that's why we're dominating the world, is we don't take any time off. We're not dominating the world. The world is dominating us.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because.
Usually when someone says because, that's followed by a continuation of the sentence, but it wasn't followed by that in the case of Simone's sentence that she was starting because she dropped. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more conversation about leisure. But I would invite you to call because one thing I did not want to do with Simone, and I will try not to do this when she comes back, is I did not want to get into a conversation just that was accusatory, but one that is also helpful, so that if you think, I do not have rest in my life, I can't find this rest, I don't have the leisure, where is the rest that Jesus promised us in the 11th chapter, I think it's the 11th chapter of Matthew's gospel, that he would give us rest. We'll talk about that with Simone, but we'd love to talk about it with you. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. After this leisurely break, we'll be right back to talk more with Simone Riscala.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
There is tremendous power in prayer, because when we acknowledge that we don't have the power, but God does, things then begin to move for our good. Remember Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Now that's power.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your leisurely host, and we're talking about the virtue of leisure with Simone Riscala. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. And it can be put down as a non-serious topic, and has been, and is regularly put down as a non-serious topic. But the ability to have a leisure of mind and body and spirit that allows the human being to be a human being is not a minor question. And answering that question in a way that actually changes lives is a way of restoring our culture to sanity. It is a more effective way than politics or any other thing we might undertake to invite people again to live life as human beings, not just as people with goals, or you know, or as cogs in the great machine, or whatever, however you might phrase it. 888-318-7884 is the number. When we lost you there, Simone, I was asking you about the American kind of prideful, almost arrogant opposition to leisure, because you know, having no time off and working ourselves to the bone—that's how we came to dominate the whole world.
Yeah, I mean. You know, and it's funny, Rodney Stark, the religious sociologist, not a Catholic, so when he says pro-Catholic things, it's maybe more credible to some readers, but he quoted at the end of the, I think it's the book, The Victory of Reason, that the Chinese were studying America and what made America so powerful and prosperous, and they said that they thought it was this reason and that reason, but it was actually the our Christianity, that that was really the source of our prosperity. And that has very much to do with this idea of leisure, because when we think about the fruits that were born out of Western civilization, that was the monastic movement. Well, what's the monastic movement? People who went out and who were leisurely, attentive to reality, that disposed them to prayer. And from that prayer, from that leisure, came all that creativity that, you know, built Western civilization. So I think it's very interesting that that came out of like the observations of the Chinese.
Yeah, because that gives it, there's a certain, you know, a testimony against self-interest there, in the sense that they have no self-interested reason, or Rodney Stark also has no self-interested reason to applaud Christianity. It's not like a Christian saying it. So, but the fact is, the monasteries built modern civilization, as you and I always end up talking about. Every time we talk about anything, we end up saying the monasteries built Western civilization. Why does nobody pay attention to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's so, that's why I'll never say no to talking to you or anyone about leisure. It is the thing. And when I read Pieper's book, which if you aren't ready to read it yet, I have an article that I wrote kind of synthesizing his ideas, which anyone's welcome to Google and find. But it was healing for me as a first generation American, because it filled in the intellectual gaps of like, wait a minute, why do I, as a child of immigrants, why am I involved in like two extracurricular activities, but all my American friends have like 15? And why are they all stressing out about their resumes and they're like 15 years old? And why am I spending a really long time drinking Armenian coffee with grandma? You know, like why is there such a stark disconnect? And I think it does have to do with what you were saying earlier with like American obsession with work, which is actually a form of the contrary vice to leisure, which is acedia or sloth.
Oh, yeah. Well, so what's the difference between leisure and sloth then?
So sloth is that it's spiritual sadness. And you're like, well, how is that the opposite of leisure? Well, because if leisure is the virtue that disposes you ultimately to reality, which as a Christian we claim is good because the ultimate reality is God, acedia is spiritual sadness because you don't actually want to look at reality. Instead, you want to look at your own fantasy thinking. And you were saying earlier, I think right at the beginning, about like our culture not wanting to like look at reality, and that's why things are kind of a mess. Well, because we are plagued by the vice of acedia, of sloth, this spiritual sadness, because actually it doesn't work when I try to take reality and manipulate it and conform it to what I want it to be instead of what it actually is. And so Evagrius, a desert father, said that he believed that acedia, sloth, the spiritual sadness, was actually the most demonic of vices, because it takes you away from reality, and the heart of it is actually autonomy, which in the United States, in America, we love autonomy, we love individualism, right? This idea of like that I'm a needy, dependent being on God and my community and the church and each other. Those are two different things.
888-318-7884. We're talking about the vocation of leisure. A perfect time to do it at this very busy time of year, where sometimes we need to be reminded that God intends us to have rest, not just eternal rest, but rest in this life. And that means peace, interior peace. That means physical rest. That means and arising from that rest, that ability to rest, an ability to encounter reality rather than constantly be fleeing reality. Rick is in Arlington, Texas, listening on 910 AM. Rick, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Simone Rizcala.
Good evening. I am guilty as charged, but what the thing I have concerns with is I seem to spend my leisurely time doing spiritual or religious things. If it's not another scripture study, it's another ministry to join or a ministry meeting. And I seem to have this in my mind that I need to be spending my downtime working for the Lord. And I think it gets me in trouble with just, trying to find ways to do to be spending leisure. So any suggestions would be helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all guilty as charged. It's really... This is a tough one. But yeah, religious consumerism is real. And again, it's leisure isn't downtime. Leisure is a virtue of being. It's a habit of being. So if your spiritual activities, if you're getting consumeristic minded about religious stuff, that absolutely can be an obstacle to cultivating this virtue. And I think it's one that churchy people like us can feel good about because it's God's stuff. But do we want the presence of God or do we want God's stuff? And insofar as the God stuff leads to the presence of God, great. But if it doesn't, it's just more stuff. And it doesn't matter if it's God. Well, it's better than doing other bad stuff. It's good stuff, but it's good stuff that's not actually cultivating that virtue of leisure. So I would say cut it out in freedom. Let it go.
Rick, what do you think?
Well, definitely easier said than done, but it is worth practicing and trying it. So I appreciate it very much.
Well, as every virtue is, every virtue is a thing to practice. It's not a thing that you just say, oh, I'm going to do that now.
Oh, it's so easier said than done. I mean, like, how many novenas am I addicted to? Is it really stewarding the press? I mean, you know, we're Catholics. We have so much stuff. It's all such good stuff. So we have to get really choosy about what are the things that are really disposing my soul to true prayer, you know, because it's really easy to get sucked into all of it.
Rick, thank you very, very much for the call. Our guest is Simone Rizcala. Our topic is the virtue of leisure. I want to make a confession to you about my own life, Simone, and see what you make of it. And that is that I avoid sometimes the rosary because it's hard. It's very hard for me to sit still for what I believe is 17 minutes at the speed that I pray. I mean, it's like I just sit still. So you were saying, how do we get those fruits? And I feel like the peace that follows upon the regular praying of the rosary is worth any difficulty that I have sitting still, even though that there's this. So I'm confessing this to you in other words to say that I have to work to pray, mm-hmm. but if I pray, I am a more leisurely person, a more peaceful and centered and calm and friendly person.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pope Benedict said something about the rosary, like you don't have to do it all at one time. You can do a decade here, a decade there. That might help. So I don't know. I mean,
I'm doing like one Hail Mary at a time. I'm like, okay, by the end of this week, I will have a rosary done. Oh, it will happen.
But again, it's about the authentic. Sometimes we get very I did a rosary. And I know there is a whole Eastern Catholic churches that don't have the rosary in their tradition.
Yeah.
I love the rosary, by the way, and I pray it every day. But my point is that like sometimes we get pretty like, I think it was Teresa of Avila said like one good Hail Mary is worth just rattling off prayers. So I think, you know, we have to have that kind of Christian freedom with them. I think St. Therese struggled with rosary.
St. Therese did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God bless her. I love St. Therese.
Now you love her.
Yeah, sometimes I avoid these saints because they're holy, and then I'm like, oh, if I get to know this holy person, then I'm gonna have to be holier.
Worse, yeah.
I think it's Mary Lynn in Oregon, listening on the great Modern Day Catholic Radio. Mary Lynn, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question or comment for Simone Rizcala.
Well, thank you. Simone, one of the things that has always been impressed on me is the fact that we have Puritan roots here in the United States, and that really has set us up for this lack of leisure because work is next to godliness type of thing. But I come from an Italian background, and enjoying the gifts that are in front of us is one of the best ways to practice leisure and to be present to them. And so I really, I'm grateful for my tradition and roots from the culture my parents are from. Babette's Feast, I don't know if you've ever watched that movie.
Oh, Babette's Feast. I'm sorry. It just made me so happy mentioning that. Because did we air the show that talks about Babette's Feast? We did. Because we had a movie critic talking about it the other day, Andrew Pettiprin, and as one of the greatest movies ever made. And I'm so happy you mentioned
that. It really brings that out. That community's lack of ability to enjoy leisure. and so it was really it's quite a moving movie to watch. So.
Do you know the movie, Simone? Do you know Babette's Feast?
You know, I have friends that around the time I was reading this book in 2009 were insisting that I watch it, and I think I started it but never finished it. So this is my big
Leisure for you until you watch this movie, Babette's Feast.
No, yes. But I mean, you're absolutely right, and you know, God bless being Italian, because honestly, whenever I'm having good leisure time, especially with it's a friend, we're having a good sit, I'll just turn over to my friend and say, you know what we're doing right now? Dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing. And if that's not the most dignified, humane thing, I don't know what is. So God bless the Italians. Dolce far niente.
Marilyn, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. It's so funny when every time I've been to Italy twice, I've been with Americans, and Americans always say the same thing. Why don't we live like this? Well, you could choose to live like this, but you hard. Don't.
But it's hard. She's right, because our roots in America are Puritan.
Right. So, right. You know. Yes, that's true. All right, we'll take a very quick break. Be right back with more calls for Simone Riscala on the virtue of leisure. Trying to encourage you to enjoy the peace of Christ in this season of his peace that's so busy and hectic. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Want to get right to the core of Christ's saving message? Want a roadmap for living the life Christ calls you to? It's time to look again at the Beatitudes. In his new book, Heart of the Gospel, How the Beatitudes Show Us God's Plan for Happiness, Father Sebastian Walsh demonstrates compellingly how these eight declarations make up the foundation, the essence, and the final goal of Jesus' teaching. Heart of the Gospel illuminates the scriptural passages from which we get the Beatitudes, explains the significance of their wording, their order, and their timing in Jesus' ministry. And it draws out edifying parallels and connections with salvation history and the lives of the saints. Most importantly, Father Walsh offers wise counsel from his own work as a priest and teacher to help you live the Beatitudes in your own life. Order your copy of Heart of the Gospel today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
Join us to talk all about relationships.
Tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Simone Riscala from Endow. And if you want to find out about Endow groups, just go to the internet and look up Endow groups. One of the wonderful things about the modern world is these mostly lay groups that have come up to help people to live the Catholic faith. And the way Endow does that is by helping people to read the documents of the Catholic Church, like the documents of the Second Vatican Council or the encyclicals and writings of Pope John Paul II and many others. And they help women to form groups that read these documents. Now, let me just make sure, did I get that basically right, or was my description off there?
Absolutely, endowgroups.org. And actually, going through an Endow study, which is like an 8 to 12 week study thing, is a fantastic way to cultivate leisure, actually, because you're carving out that time for study, for prayer, for community. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to do with your time, ladies.
If you'd like to talk with Simone, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. When we're talking about leisure, you are very welcome to call. Our last caller, Mary Lynn, makes a wonderful point, and it is true that people who have Italian grandmothers seem to get this better than other people. Like, Italian grandmothers seem to be particularly good at I don't know, like opening up a space in the soul of the family, like, okay, there has to be some appreciation. There has to be some eating and resting and conversing and drinking limoncello. Or, okay, I added that last part, but...
Life in our life. We need more life in our life.
Life in our life. Simone, I always say like 15 sentences and then you sum it up in like one sentence. But I want to challenge a little bit of the idea that this all comes from our Puritan roots. Because it's clear the United States was founded by religious weirdos who are, I mean, these are people who would be excluded in many ways from modern society.
That's dressed bad.
Say that again.
And they dressed bad too. They weren't as cute as they
I mean, if you put a buckle on your hat, you're not a normal person. But they did have a lot of problems with just lighten up. Like they're very, very grave, grim, serious founders that we have of this culture. But I think that's part of it. But you know, Jesus, the part where he says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." He describes himself. It's the only place, I think, in Scripture where he describes himself. And he says, "I am meek and humble of heart." So he is connecting rest with being meek and humble.
Yes.
And so if we're not resting as a society, could it be possible it's because we are brutal and violent and proud that we're not a meek and humble society?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the unholy self-reliance of the vice of acedia/sloth. Like that sort of, I'm going to like fashion my own reality, fashion my own self. It's very American stuff, right? Like very West, like, you know, I'm going to determine who I am, not like discover who I am, but I'm going to determine who, even to the point of my gender, my biological sex. I mean, it's gotten to like extreme forms.
Yes. Right.
But, you know, but with leisure, it's a discovery. It's a recognition of who I am because God is actually the one who created me. And my true self is unveiled and revealed in him and in finding him and getting close to him. And that's a totally different thing. So I think you're right, Sai. I think you're absolutely right with that connection to the humility.
888-318-7884 is the number. We'll go to Los Angeles now. Michael is in Los Angeles, California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Michael, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Simone Riscala.
Thank you so much. Kira, what tips do you have for meditations or prayers that Catholics can do in order to, get in more of a leisure mode and more connected to God? That doesn't involve like things like work or making money or being successful, something to detach yourself. Thank you.
Yeah. So he's asking what spiritual practices to dispose leisure. I would say if I understood correctly,
that's what I understood, Michael. That's what you're asking, right? What are practical ways that one could develop leisure in one's heart?
Sure.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Any tips or any monk, techniques like breathing exercises with different prayers, things like that.
Thank you, Michael. Simone?
Yeah, there's actually a lot out there. I would say I'm going to go with the traditional answer here with Lectio Divina, divine reading, to sit with the Word of God and to meditate and contemplate, to let the Word speak to you. I think that's a great spirit. I mean, I can tell you practical things in life to like root out noise pollution, busyness, cutting your schedule, like Sai mentioned, slowing down, having a meal, having more life in your life. Those are really natural things. But if you're asking about the supernatural, about spiritual, Lectio Divina is the best. We'd have a transformed church if people practice Lectio Divina.
Oh, Michael, are you familiar with Lectio Divina?
Actually, I was going to ask you, how do you spell that? Because I have to search that on YouTube or something.
Oh, yeah. You can get it there. Sure. Go ahead. Spell it. You're a better speller than I am, Simone.
What? Lectio. L-E-C. It's like a spelling bee.
I know. Use it in a sentence.
I know.
It's L-E-C-T-I-O. You're driving me crazy, Simone. Now, and Davina.
I'm so nervous. I've never been more nervous in my life.
Simone panicked. She panicked that she couldn't spell Lexio Divina. L-E-C-T-I-O-D-I-V-I-N-O.
No, N-A.
Okay, awesome.
See?
Thank you so much.
Oh, N-A. Sorry. See, I told you you were a better speller than me. I was trying to make you look good. That was so nice of me because I am meek and humble of heart.
But if you go to my blog, culturedzipsy.com, and go to resources, I have Lexio guides on there, as well as a litany of leisure and a biblical examination of conscience based on leisure, which you're welcome to use.
And say the website again where people can get it.
Culturalgypsy.com.
Culturalgypsy.com. Does the word gypsy come from Egyptian?
Yeah, it does.
Is that why you call yourself Cultural Gypsy?
Yeah. Because we were in Armenia, then we were in Egypt, now we're in America, but I'm also a Christian. I'm here, but I'm not there. And, you know, so it's like, it's all the existential layers that nobody can actually interpret. So I have, you know, but there it is.
I gotcha. Michael, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Father Marty in North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Father Marty, I was just in North Dakota. Did we meet?
No, we did not meet.
Oh, all right.
Although I have met Simone.
Oh, you met Simone. Okay, well, that's almost as good.
Father, it's great to hear from you.
My thought was that one thing that I discovered recently, difference between leisure and acedia, is the sense of savoring. It's like in leisure, I savor the moment. Acedia is more like any place but here, any time but now, with anyone but you. But also in regard to, I kind of started giving up media because I found that it didn't refresh me or restore me, and that's what I wanted from leisure. So kind of like you were saying, I started reading or going hiking or having an espresso with a friend, and I found that much more the way leisure should go.
I love that, Father. And, I mean, Father's an Eastern, he's a Byzantine priest, so...
all the wonderful places where Byzantine Catholics are, you're in North Dakota in the winter, Father. How did you work that deal? I mean, I can see North Dakota any other time of year, but you got sent. Oh, your bishop decided you needed to be in North Dakota for the winter. That seems fair.
I needed some asceticism.
I guess so.
You were already holy enough, Father. But anyways, there you go.
You know, Father, I wonder if you could just describe, but before we go to the break, the experience of giving up media, was that difficult for you?
I decided to give it up, and then I found when I wanted to go to bed, I was still doing it. So I actually joined a group of people that also were trying to give it up, and so that's... what helped me was having some accountability.
Wonderful.
But then once I did it, I thought like, oh man, I have so much more concentration now when I do want to have leisure. It was really, I didn't realize how the media was kind of robbing me of of some things.
I really think that we don't realize it until we get away from it for a while. The way that media is stimulating of those parts of the person that are that need to rest, and that when you feel that you're resting, another movie is not actually going to be restful for you. Another TV show, and I hate to say it, sometimes even another radio program, if it's not on this station, then maybe you shouldn't be listening to it sometimes, because there are people, for example, who cannot drive just quietly in the car by themselves. They will drive themselves insane if they sit with themselves in the car.
Yeah, and once I turned off the radio, except for, of course, this program, and started praying the Jesus prayer or something like that instead. I was amazed how more peaceful and focused I started becoming.
Father, I got to let you go, but I'm very grateful for the call. But I want to ask you one other thing, because I know a lot of people who say, I want to do it, but I'm struggling with it. This group that you joined, is it a public thing or was it just a private group of people?
Yeah, so there is one of the groups I went to. There's it's online. Media Addicts Anonymous was one that I worked with, and they go through like a 12-step program.
I'm so grateful for your call, Father. I'm sorry that I missed you in North Dakota. All the priests I met up there, I think, were Latin Rite priests. Some of them wore cowboy hats. I have never been to a place where the priests wear cowboy hats. But do you, Father, wear a cowboy hat?
No, I'm sorry, not yet.
Okay, all right. Well, hang around. You will. You'll develop the habit. We'll take a quick break. We're going to continue talking about leisure with our good friend Simone Riscala. Do you need more leisure in your life? The answer is almost certainly yes. What is it? How can you get it? 888-318-7884 is the number.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN's Religious Catalog has terrific suggestions for Christmas gifts. ABC Get to Know the Saints with Me introduces young readers to the communion of saints in a simple and memorable way. Each page includes an easy-to-read letter of the alphabet and a charming rhyme about the life of a corresponding saint in heaven. The ABC Get to Know the Saints with Me book is one of many great Christmas gifts from EWTN Religious Catalog. For more, visit EWTNRC.com today.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Simone Riscala, a person of fine temperament and great taste, despite being good friends with Joe Heschmeyer. That always amazes me, Simone, that you are good friends with Joe Heschmeyer.
Thanks, Si. I mean, we all have our people who sanctify us, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I guess so. The number is 888-318-7884. With Simone, we are talking about leisure. The virtue of leisure in particular. Christ called us to rest. He promised us that he would give us peace and rest. And so few of us experience that. Even those of us who are, you know, deeply involved in the church and her sacraments, and we receive all these gifts, but somehow have we been receptive to receiving the gift of leisure, the gift of peace, the gift of inner quiet? If you have questions about that, you are very welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. In the studio with us, a regular listener comes to our conferences and now visiting us here in San Diego, one of our favorite people, Cowboy, whose actual real name I don't know. He tells me that Cowboy is his real name. And so I accept that. But Cowboy, welcome.
Thank you.
It is your real name?
No. My real name's Chris.
Come on, man. All this time I've been asking you your real name and you waited until you got on the air to tell me that. And that's not even the name they put on the sheet. It says Cowboy in studio.
Simone could have told you.
Oh, Simone. Simone seems to know everybody.
I could have told you. Just the cool people.
Cowboy, you're welcome to go ahead with your question for Simone.
All right, Simone. So I hate to sound like a typical American, but I know that Pieper in the book you referenced talks about the connection between leisure and work and the benefit to work that leisure can provide. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Do elaborate on that in a leisurely way. Yes. So there are two conceptions of work. The conception of work that we're used to as Americans is like discursive work, where we're nitpicking, we're taking, like he uses the example in Pieper's book of a rose, right? That we can look at its petals, we can pick it off, we can examine it, we can make scientific conclusions about it. He said that that's one kind of work. But there's another kind of work, which is a contemplative kind of work. And that's where you just simply gaze upon the rose. And that gives us a different kind of knowledge, a supernatural contemplative type of knowledge. That kind of knowledge is the kind of knowledge that one can dispose oneself to receive in cultivating the virtue of leisure. How's that, Chris Cowboy?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, that was like a pop quiz right there.
Well, we didn't make you spell anything, though. All right, I'm going to call you Chris from now on, even after years of calling you Cowboy.
All right.
And Simone, do you know why Cowboy Chris is one of my favorite people in the world? Do you have any idea why?
Because he's got that leisurely vibe going.
I like that, but that's not...
Diet Coke and donuts with no judgment.
He brings me Diet Coke and donuts and does not judge me. Thank you, Chris, for that.
You're very welcome.
I'm going to tear up a little bit just thinking about that. Oh, Simone, I want to ask you about something, though, because Father Marty brought up this, he's trying to foster, cultivate within himself this holy leisure. So he gives up media in order to do it. But many people try and fail at this, or... You know, they might for a season or for a period be able to cultivate this, but are not able to pull it off. So can you talk a little bit about how to become a true person of the kind of peace and rest that Christ is offering?
Yes, I think that one thing to understand about virtue, like the root of virtue is vir, like strength. It's like where man, the word man comes from. Like it's truly powerful. Like to be the natural perfection that happens when you cultivate virtue. So to understand that this is not flaky or superficial work, this is like the work. And then in terms of like understanding going from, you know, most of us aren't perfectly virtuous, which is, you know, being in the habit of not only being good and doing the good consistently, but also enjoying it. And most of us aren't perfectly vicious, where we're in the habit of being bad and doing bad and also enjoying it. Most of us are in that a spectrum of either mainly being and doing good, but maybe not enjoying it, or we might be doing bad consistently, but also feeling guilty and not enjoying it. And so I think the difficult thing to persevere in leisure is there's going to be this like dead zone, because there's going to be like a death to the attachments and to the addictions and to the noise and to the preoccupation. And so to like gear yourself up in that you're turning a corner with, you're letting go of all these things. You're like, wait a minute, if the virtue of leisure is supposed to give me more life in my life, more richness, more relishing it, like Father Marty was saying in the call, there's going to be this period where it really does feel dead. It feels useless because I'm letting go of all these things before I can start to have the joy of the virtue. There's going to be a period, you know, like kind of like a piano player, right? Like you're like learning the scales and the notes and you're like muddling through it. You just feel like you're just never going to be good at it. And all of a sudden you've cultivated that virtue and now you can play with ease, but it feels bad for a long time until you get there. So to like push through the dead zone, so to speak.
I remind me of a professor I had in college who used to say that it's something like learning to swim at first is just a prolonged effort not to drown. But then at a certain point, it's something more than just a prolonged effort not to drown. It becomes swimming.
Yes. And it'll happen. And you're like, oh, now I can enjoy this. And so if we give up too quickly or we think we've reached the height of it
right
before the joy kicks in, that's, you know, and Evagrius, back to the guy who talks about acedia and sloth, said that like, when, because he's talking to monks primarily, you know, when, and that the demonic attack of acedia, you know, but when the monk perseveres in fighting it, there's unspeakable joy, he says, in the victory.
Yes, I believe that. I think that that makes perfect sense to me. Not as a person who has accomplished that, but in seeing many of the most holy people that I have known are also people who are easily able to master other things because they have this central kind of leisure where they don't, like, I don't know, say, for example, start learning a language and then just give up 2 days later, because maybe because they've learned a kind of persistence and they're not, and they've also eliminated a lot of distractions.
Yes, exactly. And that's like the prerequisite work, is like getting rid of all the distractions, which in this culture you have to like constantly fight off, which is why humility is so important, because, you know, it feels really good to say yes to things. And who doesn't love a people pleaser? And we get rewarded for people pleasing, you know what I mean? And so to be able to have that interior strength to have that self-knowledge of like, what am I going to say yes to? What am I going to say no to? It's just so key.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk with Simone Rizcala, we're talking about the virtue of leisure. You connected leisure and prayer, Simone, and everything good in our life must be connected to prayer, because the giver of all these good gifts, his participation in our happiness is required. It's not optional. But you also sometimes connect leisure, prayer, and vocations. We're all praying for vocations. We're all, we have at the Mass, there's always a vocations prayer in the petitions. But you connect this cultivating of leisure to vocations.
I know. This is where I get complainy, which I think I always do, Si, on this show, which is the current.
I bring out the worst in you, Simone. Thank you. No. That's what I do. That's my job.
It's just like so silly to pray for vocations, because I mean, it's not silly to pray for vocations. It's just silly to pray for vocations without teaching people how to pray. You know, like,
oh,
not like Santa Claus, like, you know what? You all haven't disposed yourselves to hearing my voice, but I'll go ahead and do the calling anyway. But it's like, he's already doing all the calling, but we don't know how to listen. Why don't we know how to listen? Because we don't know how to really pray. Or the quality of our prayer is superficial or distracted because we haven't cultivated leisure. So it's, you know, like, why not just, sure, keep praying that people hear vocations, not for vocations. Vocations are there, but parishes need to be schools of prayer, which means they need to be schools of leisure. So if a parish is too busy, is it really teaching its people how to pray? Or is it really creating this sort of person who can hear God's voice? I don't know. See, I didn't rant too long, Si.
No, that didn't actually come across as a rant, Simone. That's actually, I think that's a non-ranting point, in that, like, I was thinking, well, what occurred to me while you were speaking is that, you know, the two great commandments are love God and love your neighbor. And the spirit of leisure is the thing that makes you capable of loving God and your neighbor. If you're just busy all the time, and if your life is busyness and worry, then there is no capacity to love. You might do some nice things for God and your neighbor, but you're not going to love them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And actually, I'm glad you said that, because the most leisurely people I know, mm-hmm. truly, it's not that their schedules aren't full. Of course they are. But the most leisurely people I know are the ones who, when you're with them, they're with you. They are attuned to you. They're present to you. They're not preoccupied. It's not about just like, oh, they're not checking their phones. Like, you feel they're there with you. You're the only person in the room. There's a care and a concern for you. There's an attentiveness to you that is supernatural. To me, that's the height of the leisurely person. They're just, it's the Good Samaritan. They notice.
Yes.
They notice reality.
Right. And that's one of the problems with this society divorced from reality, is we don't actually notice what other people need. We don't notice, and we can just go on without attending to the fact that my child needs someone to listen to them today, or my spouse needs someone to encourage them today. Simone Rizcala, you are a superstar. Thank you very much for being here with us.
Thank you, Si. Always a blast.
I tell you what, you can find out more about what Simone does. Go to culturalgypsy.com, Simone.
Mm-hmm.
culturalgypsy.com. and find out what she does there. If you in any way support the people of Armenia, you will make Simone happy. She's trying to get us all to do that, and we all should. And you can check out Endow Groups at endowgroups.org and find out what they do in teaching the documents of the Catholic Church and bringing groups of women together to do that. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.